Well, it's certainly a privilege to be here to give you this retreat, you, the Curia of the Diocese of Peoria. And I guess you could say I was born into a Legion of Mary family. And my mom and dad met in the Legion of Mary. They actually met at a Curia meeting, so it pays to be an officer. You can sometimes find a spouse. And my mom was from South Bend, Indiana. For a while, she worked for Bishop Sheen as his secretary when he taught philosophy at Catholic U in Washington, D.C. And then she joined the Legion of Mary as a young girl, probably 18, 19 years old. And then she began corresponding to Frank Duff, and Frank Duff asked her if she would move to Philadelphia to establish the Legion of Mary in Philadelphia. And so she moved there. My dad was born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania, and he became close friends with Father Ignatius Zoll. Father Zoll was a very Marian priest, very devoted to Our Lady and the true devotion, and he started the Legion of Mary about 1954. And my dad was going to him for spiritual direction and confession. And for 2 years, Father Zoll said, "Bill, please join the Legion of Mary." And for 2 years, he said no. And one day, my dad went to confession to him, and Father Zoll said, "Bill, for your penance, join the Legion of Mary." He's been in for over 50 years. I say, "Dad, what did you confess to get 50 years of penance?" Well, of course, it's been a great joy. My mom and dad met in the Legion, and they went to Ireland and Lourdes on their honeymoon. They spent a number of weeks in Ireland every day, had breakfast with Frank Duff. And they learned the Legion there in Dublin. And they went to Lourdes and consecrated their marriage to Our Blessed Mother. They were married September 8th, 1958. And Lourdes was 1858, so they're there on the 100th anniversary of the year that Our Lady appeared at Lourdes. What's unique about their honeymoon is that Father Zoll went with them on their honeymoon, right? So that's a little bit unique. All my couples, I've done over 500 weddings as a priest, not one has invited me to go with them on their honeymoon. But my two sisters, my older sister Edel, named after Edel Quinn, I'm named after Frank Duff. My younger sister Natia, that's short for Ignatia, she was named after Father Ignatius, who got my dad in the Legion. And I joined the Legion when I was 10 years old, so I've been in now for 15 years. No, I'm just joking. Been in now for 36 years in the Legion. Came up through the juniors, the junior presidium, visiting the nursing homes, doing work with visiting shut-ins. And then at the age of 18, we started the Young Adults Presidium in Philadelphia. I belonged to that, made my Legion promise 3 months after my 18th birthday. Went off to Christendom College, where I met your wonderful spiritual director and a very good friend of mine, not only a brother in the priesthood, but a brother in Christ and a brother in friendship, Monsignor Mike Bliss. And so Monsignor Mike and I met in 1983, known each other for 26 years. And he's done wonderful work in promoting devotion to Our Blessed Mother and the Legion. So you're very blessed to have him as your curious spiritual director. So we started the Legion at Christendom College in 1982, and thanks be to God, it's still going now after these 27 years. And then off to Mount St. Mary Seminary, where the Legion is still going, thanks be to God, among the seminarians. And then in the different parishes, we've tried to promote the true devotion to Our Lady and the Legion. So as you know, the Legion is a wonderful way to grow in holiness. Now, there was a story that occurred in Cork, Ireland. There was an ordination taking place, and so the junior legionaries thought it would be a good idea to go and attend that, and after the Mass, to do a recruiting drive and just invite people to join the Legion. So the juniors went out, and they stood on the church steps, and a gentleman walked out of the church, and little Paul, junior legionary, said, "Excuse me, sir, would you like to be an auxiliary member of the Legion of Mary?" And the fellow said, "Why can't I be an active member?" And little Paul says, "Because you're too old." And the man said, "Well, my name is Frank Duff." That occurred on Frank Duff's 80th birthday. He got the biggest kick out of it. Well, Frank Duff is now up for beatification. He's now, as you know, a servant of God, pretty soon venerable and God willing, blessed, and then Saint Frank Duff. That's what we pray for. Frank Duff once said that the Legion makes saints and makes them by the bushel. Isn't that a beautiful expression? The Legion produces holiness in its members. The Legion is a way of life. And we have to see the Legion not as an organization that we belong to, but as a vocation that we live, a way of life. In only, 80-some years that the Legion's been around, we already have three members up for beatification. Frank Duff, Edel Quinn, Alfie Lamb, and I'm sure pretty soon, Canon Ripley, Father McGrath, Father Bradshaw. We've had as many, they say, on the low side, 4,000 legionaries martyred in China, and probably more accurately, up to 40,000 members of the Legion of Mary martyred in communist China. That could be 40,000 Legion saints. In just a short period of time, the Legion has produced all these saints. Isn't that amazing? And it's wonderful. I mean, some orders have been around for 1,000 years. We've only been around less than 100 years. And as Frank Duff said, the Legion makes saints and makes them by the bushel. So what is it about the Legion that produces holiness in the members? Well, let me just very briefly walk you through seven things that the Legion gives us that can help us grow in holiness. Number one, the Legion Handbook. You know, Frank Duff once said that spiritual reading has produced many a saint. Spiritual reading. Now, next to the Bible and your catechism, the most important book in your library should be your Legion Handbook. It is a spiritual classic. I wrote an article once for Homiletic and Pastoral Review, The Legion of Mary, a spiritual classic. The Legion Handbook is a spiritual classic. I have copies of the article I'll give you over in the conference room. But next to your Bible and your catechism, this is your most important book as a Catholic. In fact, the Legion Handbook is studied by more people than any other book in the world next to the Bible. See, 3 million people every single week read the handbook. Name one other book that people are reading week after week, month after month, year after year. They're not doing, you know, the Imitation of Christ or the spiritual exercises every single week for, you know, for years and years. The Legion Handbook is a classic. It can teach us our Catholic faith. It teaches us doctrine, spirituality, apologetics, and techniques for the apostolate to evangelize. We once gave a Legion Handbook to a pastor. He read it. We went back the next week. He said, you know what? If people did what's in this book, they'd become a saint. So true. If they live this book. A priest friend of mine read the book, and he said it was the best book he ever read about our Blessed Mother. It's such a wonderful book. It can teach us scripture. There's 173 scripture quotes in the Legion Handbook. So it's the most studied book in the Catholic Church next to the Bible. So read and study the handbook. When you go to make a holy hour, take your handbook with you and read it prayerfully and read it slowly. It's such a wonderful book. Second, a second way in which the Legion helps us to grow in holiness is the Presidium meeting itself. Don't look upon the meeting as just a meeting. It's a spiritual exercise. It's the opportunity for spiritual formation. Whether or not you have a priest there or a spiritual director, the Legion system itself gives you spiritual formation through the rosary, through the handbook, through the spiritual reading, through the discussion, through the allocutio, through the reports, through the prayers. So when you look at the Legion meeting, it contains so many beautiful things. The praying of prayers to the Holy Spirit, the rosary, the Magnificat, which is the catena, the concluding prayers. At the Legion meeting, we have the spiritual reading, the allocutio, the handbook study. It's a great way to grow in our knowledge of the faith and to realize that at the meeting, we are with our Blessed Mother and Jesus. He said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Look at your Legion meeting as an appointment with Christ. He said he's going to be there. Look at your Legion meeting as an appointment with our Blessed Mother. She'll be there. Wherever Jesus is, Mary has to be there as well. Your Legion meeting is your cenacle in the upper room with Our Lady. You are her modern day apostles, and she will pray that the Holy Spirit will come down upon you, and then she'll fill you with that Spirit and send you out to evangelize. So the Presidium meeting is a prayer meeting, but it's also a business meeting for the salvation of souls. It's an opportunity for us to be trained as apostles, to spend time with Our Lady, and then to go out and evangelize the world, just as the apostles did at Pentecost. The Presidium meeting teaches us discipline, obedience, punctuality, charity, and humility. The third way the Legion gives us to grow in holiness is the weekly apostolic work for the salvation of souls, to help your neighbor get to heaven. Always remember this about the Legion, two things. The Legion exists to help you grow in holiness and then to evangelize the world. Those two things, holiness and evangelization, which is really saving your soul and then saving the souls of others as we grow closer to God. All these wonderful things that we do in the Legion, the spiritual works of mercy, they're so valuable. Visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful. These are the spiritual works of mercy. They say that the greatest sign of charity is zeal for the salvation of souls, caring about your neighbor, wanting your neighbor to get to heaven, helping to save souls. At the weekly apostolic assignment that we're given, we try to do this assignment always in the spirit of faith, in union with Mary, in such fashion that the person of our Lord is once again seen and served by Mary, His Mother. So we try to do this apostolic work with charity, with kindness, with humility, and that work itself, even though we're bringing other people closer to God, it's making us closer to God as well. Number four, Praetorian membership. A great blessing we have in the Legion is that besides being an active member, we can go a little bit deeper in the spiritual life by undertaking Praetorian membership. It leads us to a deeper life of prayer. A Praetorian member, I think many of you are Praetorians, besides your weekly meeting and assignment, you would pray the Rosary every day and the whole Tessera, the whole Legion prayer card. And then you would attend Mass, daily Mass and Communion, each day, or at least, you know, five or six times a week, and then pray some form of the Divine Office, morning prayer and evening prayer, for example, from the Liturgy of the Hours or some other office approved by the Church. Praetorian membership focuses our attention on Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, and encourages us to go to Communion every day, to attend Mass every day. And of course, those who are Praetorians, I'm sure, are going to regular confession at least once a month, perhaps every 2 weeks, to gain the plenary indulgence. The Praetorian Guard in the Roman Legion, they were the hand-picked regiment. They were the Green Beret of the Roman Legion. They were the special guard of the emperor. So could we not consider, as a fruit from this retreat, to consider becoming a Praetorian member? Father McGrath told me once that 80 to 90% of all the legionaries in China were Praetorian members, and that probably gave them the strength to give their lives in the communist prisons and even to die for not just their Catholic faith, and not just, let's say, because they were Catholic. They weren't killed because they were Catholic. They were killed because they were members of the Legion of Mary. See, the communists didn't mind people just believing, but they could not stand people evangelizing. And that's why they were all rounded up in prison, and most of them went to their death. Number five, the fifth way in which the Legion helps us to grow in holiness is by teaching us the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ, the central doctrine of Christianity, which Frank Duff calls a very sanctifying doctrine. See, one thing about the Legion, It enables you to live the doctrines of the faith. Not just believe the doctrines, but actually live the doctrines of the Catholic faith. He says in this, he quotes scripture, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me." So when you visit the nursing home, you're visiting Christ. When you're going to the hospital, you're visiting Christ. When you're going door to door, you're visiting Christ. When you're enthroning the Sacred Heart in the home, you're visiting Jesus. And we always try to live out that third standing instruction that in the person of our Lord and in our fellow member, Jesus is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. Remember Matthew 25, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink." Now, Mother Teresa says that even more crucial than the physical needs of people are the spiritual needs of people. People hungry for God. People thirsty for love. People starving for the truth. People starving for the Eucharist. To take care of people's souls is actually even more valuable than taking care of the body. Because the body will die anyway. The soul will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. This does not diminish the corporal works of mercy. Other organizations do that. St. Vincent de Paul Society and other groups do wonderful things in taking care of the physical needs. But how many organizations in the Catholic Church are taking care of the spiritual needs of getting people back to confession, getting people back to communion, getting the babies baptized, getting marriages blessed in the church, getting people to get their children to have First Communion and Confirmation. See, that's of infinite value. As important as the corporal works of mercy are, what's even more vital is saving souls. The body will die anyway. The soul will live forever. So your work is of infinite importance. And again, we don't neglect people's material needs. We get other organizations to come in and take care of them while we focus on getting them back in the state of grace, getting them back to confession, getting those babies baptized, and getting their souls ready for heaven. Number six, the sixth way which the Legion helps its members grow in holiness is by teaching them the principle of Mary's motherhood of souls, that Mary is the mother of each person. She's the mother of the Church, the mother of Christ, and the mother, of course, of the mystical body of Christ, which is the Church. She is that mediatrix of all graces. And what we do as legionaries is we participate in Mary's maternal care for the salvation of souls. Mary's role from heaven is try to lead all souls to Christ, right? You become Mary's hands and feet. You're Mary's heart. You're Mary's mind. You're Mary's lips. You are Mary all over again. Frank F. once said this. Somebody said, "What's the definition of the Legion of Mary?" He says, "We are Mary all over again. We're Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh, Mary's spiritual presence in the world, Mary's mystical body." So that's what we are as legionaries, is that our job is to be so united to Our Lady that, of course, we want to lead all souls to Christ. And that's Mary's role. So the Legion teaches us, not only is Jesus present in each and every person as through the mystical body, but Mary is our spiritual mother and the mother of all mankind. And the Legion is nothing less than Mary's presence in the world today, the mother of the Church. They're trying to bring back the fallen away members. As you know, we have a lot of lost sheep out there, right? A lot of lost sheep in the fold. The priest is supposed to be a pastor. Yeah, the bishop is a pastor. That's why he has the staff, as the shepherd staff. You know what we are as legionaries? We're the Blessed Mother's sheepdogs, right? Our job is to round up the lost sheep. That's what you are. To go out and round up those lost sheep and bring them back to the fold. And lastly, number seven. The seventh way in which the Legion helps us grow in holiness is by teaching us true devotion to Mary, according to St. Louis Marie de Montfort. Frank Duff popularized the true devotion to Our Lady. He was able to teach the true devotion to millions of Catholics. The basic teaching of the true devotion is that Jesus was the first one to entrust himself to Mary at the incarnation and for 9 months in her womb. So we are called to imitate Christ. We're called to entrust ourselves and consecrate ourselves to our Blessed Mother. Jesus did it first. We follow in his footsteps. So if he entrusted himself to Mary, we also should consecrate ourselves to Mary as well. It's the perfect renewal of our baptismal vows and promises. And then we allow Mary and the Holy Spirit to mold us into Jesus. Just as Mary and the Holy Spirit, their cooperation brought about the conception and the birth of Christ in a mystical way, Jesus conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So De Montfort says, if you want Christ to be born within you, then you have to have a great devotion to the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother to allow them to form the image of Jesus within us. So De Montfort teaches us to consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, to then live in union with our Blessed Mother and complete dependence on Jesus and our Blessed Mother. When we think of all the holy people that have made and practiced this true devotion to Mary, St. Therese of Little Flower, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Matt Talbot, Frank Delphi, Del Quinn, Alfie Lamb, Mother Teresa, John Paul II, the list goes on, of those who lived and practiced this true devotion. So those are the seven ways that the Legion can help to form us into the saints that God has called us to be. That's why you're here on this retreat. You're here to grow in holiness, to spend some quiet time in prayer, to listen to God speak to you, and to be better legionaries and better Catholics and better Christians by the time you leave this retreat. I hope that this retreat will be a source of grace for you. I have lots of people praying for you. Everybody I asked this past week, I told them I was going to be giving a retreat here in the Diocese of Peoria. I said, pray for all those who are going to be on the retreat. So you have lots of people praying for you on these next few days. So be open to the Holy Spirit. I hope we all leave this retreat more holy, more closer to God, as better Catholics and as better legionaries. God bless you.